Monster Man, bonus episode, November 2022.
Hello and welcome to Monster Man, a show about monsters because monsters are great. I'm James Holloway, and I'm reading my way through the gaming books of yesteryear. And as I do, I'm talking about the monsters that I find in them. Their history, their mythology, their ecology, their imagery, and how to use them in games.
Today's episode is a bonus episode going out to all my Patreon backers at all levels as a way to thank you for your continued support. If you're new here, in these monthly episodes, I just talk about what I've been up to outside of Monster Man over the month. Things I've read, things I've watched, things I've done, that sort of thing. It's informal, it wanders a bit sometimes, but it's nice to catch up. As always, the November episode is delayed a little bit into the first week of December, because the first weekend in December here in the UK is Dragon Meet, which is our big RPG convention, and I like to, you know, talk about that while it's still fresh. Alright, so before we get to Dragon Meet, let's catch up on the sort of traditional things that we cover. I finally did some reading, I finished some books. That's a little unfair on me. Obviously, I was reading a lot of these throughout October, but didn't finish them by the end of the month. I finished that Ian Morris book, Geography is Destiny, which I wasn't blown away by. You know, a lot of the time, these kinds of large-scale history and prehistory books adapt ideas from like one period of history to apply to another in a way that's interesting, but one of the consequences is that they don't examine them in a great deal of detail. So consequently, it keeps sort of like mentioning or raising interesting ideas, but then never really drilling down to explore them because it can't, because it's about thousands of years of history. So I kept being left with concepts where I thought, well, you know, that's an interesting idea, but clearly you would need to explore it in a little more detail, and then that not happening. Ian Livingstone and Steve Jackson, but mainly Ian Livingstone's book, Dice Men, which is a kind of personal history of their time, founding and running Games Workshop, arrived. It was interesting to me. I wouldn't say, you know, you have to kind of know what to expect. It's by the people involved, rather than sort of like a Gary Gygax figure who, you know, lost control of his company and wound up sort of existing on the fringes of the gaming industry for a long time. Jackson and Livingstone kind of, you know, moved onward and upward. After their time at Games Workshop, you know, the end to it kind of came to some extent because of their moving on to other projects within the gaming industry. I guess what that means is that this is not like a historical document, but the early days of bitter struggle. It's not analysis, not historical analysis. It's anecdotes about the beginning of a career, right? Things were so tough when we were young, we slept on the floor, all that kind of thing. Which is fine, you know, and also like, oh, the fun we had and the various people that we met. But I just mean it's art and arcana, not playing at the world or game wizards, right? It's not a critical outsider's look at something. It's a memoir. But it's a lavishly illustrated memoir, and it has lots of fun anecdotes and fun, like, bits of ephemera, which I think is the main thing I liked. I also read the novel Devil House by John Darnielle, which made this a very John Darnielle-y month, because I also went to London to see the Mountain Goats. I was supposed to go with my wife, Allison, but unfortunately she was not able to make it. But I went, you know, with her blessing, and, you know, it means the Mountain Goats, right? It was a good show. I had a good time. And, of course, because I had to come by train, I missed the very end of the encore, but since I had determined that it wasn't going to be Best Ever Death Metal Band out of Denton, and instead it was this year, you know, which is fine, as a song I love, but I would have been really sad if it had turned out to be Best Ever Death Metal Band out of Denton. I enjoyed Devil House, and I was particularly pleased that it's set in a part of the San Francisco Bay Area that I know to a certain extent, although not at the time that that some of the book is set. It kind of hops around, exploring different perspectives and different chronologies. I do think that sort of structurally, it's kind of like a series of reflections on the same idea, which is interesting. I don't 100% know that it coheres. And if I were feeling really pretentious, I'd say it feels in some ways like a Mountain Goats album, right? I mean, it's an obvious comparison to make with John Darnielle, but Beat the Champ isn't a story about a wrestler. I don't think you're supposed to imagine that the perspective character in the songs is the same guy all the way through. Even when it isn't explicitly someone like Bull Ramos or Bruiser Brody, I think you're meant to see these as like thematically, not narratively connected. And I think in that sense, if we see like all the different parts of Devil House as being like different thematic explorations of the same central idea, I think they work very well. And I think if you're looking for a specific like narrative payoff rather than just a particular feeling, it doesn't work as well. But I enjoyed it. I might go back and read his earlier novels, which I have never read. I read Great Riots of New York, which is one of those books that I picked up in a charity shop just because the title appealed to me. It turns out to be from 1873. So it's about a number of riots in New York, but particularly the draft riots, which took place during the American Civil War in 1863. And it was interesting. I don't know that it was good necessarily. The author is kind of held back from any real analysis of why riots happen by apparently having a pretty simple conviction that they happen because poor people are bad, particularly if those poor people are Irish, the worst of all poor people. So that kind of got in his way, I think. So it was interesting as a historical document in its own right, full of interesting like details about life in New York at that time. So that I thought was interesting, but I don't know that I would like trust this author's take on the material. I watched some films. I watched See How They Run, which felt somewhat inconsequential to me. Although it is interesting, I think, that the whodunit is kind of having a little bit of a comeback, I presume inspired by the success of Knives Out. And then also we got these Kenneth Branagh, Hercule Poirot movies, where it's like we get all the star-studded cast. I saw Death in the Nile a while ago. I think I talked about it. I thought it was not very good. I don't think either of them are very good. Kind of misunderstands its source material a little bit, which I feel like most modern adaptations of procedural detective stories do. Like, I maintain, and I know that this is a minority view, but I maintain that Elementary is a better Sherlock Holmes show than Sherlock because it is, although it has like character development and other stuff like that, that is not very Sherlockian. It is mainly about solving mysteries. And the Sherlock Holmes mysteries are closer to an episodic cop show than a character-focused drama. Anyway, See How They Run, inconsequential, and in hindsight, baffling. If you had put on paper, well, I mean, this is kind of how I wound up watching it. Like, oh, it's a period whodunit starring, you know, Sam Rockwell and Saoirse Ronan. That sounds great, but it's not very good. Shame. I also watched Lou, which I guess came on Netflix here in the UK, which is a kind of small cast thriller, notable for the fact that like the taciturn, tough character who gets dragged into the thing, but then turns out to have, you know, more background and secrets and so forth is Allison Janney, which is not normally a role that you would expect Allison Janney to be in. It's good. It's got a good beginning. I think partly it's just that you're watching it and you're quite satisfied with this thriller developing off of its simple premise, and then it goes like, aha, well, the premise wasn't really that simple. And you go, oh, well, I quite liked it the way it was, you know. But also that the longer scenes go on and the more dialogue Allison Janney gets, the harder it is to forget that you're listening to Allison Janney, and she's very strongly associated with certain other types of roles. But, I mean, overall, I think it was, I mean, you know, it's if your game got canceled or the weather's bad or you got some laundry to fold. I saw Disenchanted, which I felt was fine. Enchanted was one of Allison's favorite movies. It was all right, but it's always, there's a weird feeling that comes from watching something that is a sequel to or a spinoff of something important to you, and it's just like kind of another thing. I feel like that's what unsuccessful Star Trek often feels like, and it's certainly how I felt watching The Phantom Menace. Not to say that this is like The Phantom Menace. What else did I see? I watched The End of Andor. I'm always interested in, I mean, speaking of weird spin-offs, because ultimately, in my mind, Star Wars is like a whiz-bang adventure show for kids, right? Script seems like it could have been written in the 40s, plus some hippie stuff, and then it should look like it was designed in the 1970s. And I feel like this actually does a pretty good job of staying within that frame while being nonetheless a more mature and serious version of that kind of thing. You know, one of the things that I think is interesting is that normally, if I were to say that something is more mature and serious than a kind of like sci-fi action-adventure franchise, you would tend to think that means it is more violent. But it's not particularly. It's just more serious about the meanings of that violence, maybe. Anyway, you don't need me to tell you Andor's good. Everybody says it's good. I watched a couple episodes of The New Willow, which is fine. Speaking of, like, a thing that is just, I saw somebody complaining that, you know, it's basically just kind of like a not very bright all ages fantasy adventure show. I thought, so like Willow then. It was fun. I watched the Guardians of the Galaxy holiday special. It's nice to see the old 97s in something. The guy started singing and Allison went, is that Rhett Miller? And then he did his little hip shake and I was like, yeah, that's Rhett Miller. All right. How odd. Gaming. So this month's gaming, what did I do? Well, the Virtual Grogmeet was this month or last month, but you know what I mean? It was in November. So that was a big part of my gaming this month. I've had otherwise a lot of cancellations, you know, people get busy, people are traveling, etc. But so yeah, Virtual Grogmeet, and I crewed a LARP event, so I wasn't playing, I was kind of playing one of the NPCs. So yeah, this means I got to play Gamma World, Liminal Horror, Weird Frontier, and Mutants in the Now. I played another game of my Rogue Trader campaign. So yeah, there's some pretty good stuff there. I have to say, I enjoyed all of my Virtual Grogmeet games, but there were definitely some that stood out to me. And what's interesting is, so like, I probably enjoyed, of all the games that I played, not that any of them were bad, but I probably enjoyed my Weird Frontier game more than any of the others, and I wouldn't say that it was really particularly because of the scenario or the system, because I do think that when you're kind of trying to rush in a 3.5 hour game, you're probably not really giving a system that has the level of like involution that DCC and its descendants have. You're not really giving that like the full workout. I'm sure there was, you know, more to the plot that just kind of got condensed into a playable length, and yet it's probably the one that I had the best time at because of the sort of, well, what I can only describe as the vibe, right? That's just the mood of the table. By contrast, I would say that my Liminal Horror game, in terms of like being a mystery that we could solve and having narrative coherence and having a good balance of setting, description, and character stuff, I think that was all really good, but somehow the game did not land quite as well for me, largely more than anything else, because it was the first game in the morning, and I think people were still just kind of low energy. So for a reason that really had nothing to do with the game per se. Crewing a LARP is always interesting for me. I think I may enjoy it as much as playing one, if not more so. It's a lot, like, kind of reminds me of, like, my high school theater days, you know? That sort of general attitude. This one was very physically demanding, largely kind of because of, like, the terrain where the game is being held. It's a lot of running up and down hills. But it was good. I had a good time. I got very cold and wet on the last day, which sort of dampened my enjoyment a little bit. And my legs certainly hurt the next day. But it was great to see friends that I, you know, that I had missed because I didn't get to go to the game that I had been planning to go to in October. This was sort of like my consolation prize to myself for not getting to go to that game in October. Every game has its own kind of culture. Every game has its own habits, I suppose. And it's always interesting. This was my first time at that particular system, that particular game. So always interesting to see kind of how different groups approach the same basic concepts. But anyway, yeah, no, I had a good time. Nice to see people. And I think overall the game went well. And even the weather mostly cooperated. Finally, the big event of the month, of course, Dragon Meet. So for me, Dragon Meet is, I know a lot of people go and their goal is to play games, whether that's like to play demo games and learn about new games, or to sign up for, you know, games in the gaming hall and, you know, play that game they've always wanted to play. And it's not really what I get out of it. I don't generally game at conventions. Not that I've had too many bad experiences. I have had a couple of oddballs from time to time, but especially when I was younger, I feel like, I don't know, I feel like Dragon Meet might have a pretty chill crowd in general, though I don't know, but just kind of based on the people that I know who are there. But for me, I don't really go to play games. I mostly just go to see friends, sort of my main thing. There are lots of people that, you know, I know they'll be there and that I don't get very much chance to see the rest of the year, or at least to see in person. So those of you that I got to see at Dragon Meet, that was great. It was really nice to see you. And those that I missed, I'm really sorry, and hopefully I'll see you next time. I did some shopping. I actually got a little bit carried away. By my standards, me getting a little bit carried away is less extravagant than a lot of gamers just being their regular selves. So, but what did I get? Let's see. In the bring and buy, I picked up a copy of the Prince Valiant storytelling game, which is widely seen as quite ahead of its time in the way that Greg Stafford designed its mechanics. And of course, has beautiful art by Hal Foster from the classic newspaper comic strip. So looking forward to giving that a read. I picked up Skullfungus's Isle of Ix, which is published by Games Omnivorous. Lovely cloth bound with the Skullfungus art on the cover. Lots of nice maps and things inside. Clearly organized, easy to read. To me, it seems, I've just finished it. To me, it seems like an attempt to do a 2022 version of the Isle of Dread. Does that make sense? That it's Isle of Dread is meant to introduce you to the X part of BX or the E part of Beckme, depending on your edition, right? It's to get you out of the dungeon and into a larger landscape. And I think that that's what the Isle of Ix is sort of intended to do for the kind of OSR, NSR crowd. It's definitely a sandbox full of sort of economically described locations and characters, but I think it's pretty evocative. I don't know when I'll run it. I think if I had a group of players who were interested, who were mainly played other kinds of games, who mainly played sort of thinking gamers 80s, 90s style games, or 5e, or like indie RPG kind of your Monster's Heart or whatever, and who were interested in finding out what the deal was with the OSR playstyle, but who did, or the NSR, whatever you want to call it, playstyle, but who didn't want to bother learning like the weird intricacies of any of the older systems. Like, I don't think OSE is hard to learn, but you know, everybody is different. I think that Isle of Ix might be a pretty good starter. Especially because it comes with its own system that's very simple indeed. It's only a couple of pages long, all told. So it's quite a nice little package. Like, it might be, you know, I think it could be very appealing in that respect. I picked up the game Gangs of Titan City from Soul Muppet. I didn't back that when it was on Kickstarter. I don't have any money at the time, I think. And I've always been kind of interested in it. It's kind of like a Blades in the Dark, but it's in Necromunda kind of a vibe to it. I'm only a little ways into it, so I apologize if that's an oversimplification. And I collected my Kickstarter copy of The Medieval Marginagerie, which is about making little medieval marginalia monsters into OSE monsters. It's by Richard August. I got a chance to chat to Richard a bit at the show. That was nice. I'm quite pleased with that. I like medieval marginalia. I have a medieval marginalia monsters dragon rampant army. Well, it's got a little bit of like Hieronymus Bosch stuff in there too, but kind of like a, you know, pre-modern grotesques kind of vibe to it. So I'm looking forward to using some of those. I've read a few of them, but I haven't read them all, but I like them overall. Can't believe we didn't do a My Favorite Monster about it. I mean, I guess I did have Richard on the show before that Kickstarter. I haven't never had anybody on twice yet. And as I often do, right before leaving, I picked up a little indie zine game just because the way that the designer or, you know, proprietor presented it was so much fun, which is a little game called All Bastard, which is kind of like Adventures of Baron von Munchausen in that you're like fantasy heroes are sort of like, you know, pirates telling stories about these monsters that you've beaten. And they're always introducing you, like you roll on a table to see like what two creatures they're made up of. And then you'll be like, half killer whale, half scorpion, all bastard. And then you have to describe in stages like the different parts of the battle. And, you know, it could be fun. But it really was a bit of an impulse purchase. And I like being able to do that. That's really nice at Dragon Meet. You buy these little zine games and, you know, maybe I'm never going to play them. Like, I got this one right next to me, even as I speak, about being like obsessed orchid hunters in the Victorian era. And I will tell you for sure, I'm absolutely never going to play it. But I like that people get keen about that kind of thing, you know? Oh, I picked up Cults of Cthulhu for Call of Cthulhu, which, of course, written by, apart from the usual suspects, Chris Lackey of Strange Studies of Strange Stories, and on whose show I have appeared a couple of times as a guest and as a reader. So I'm looking forward to reading that. I think it's maybe, to me, the absence of that book was like the most obvious gap in the Call of Cthulhu lineup, and weirdly like had been since the 80s. So quite looking forward to that. Other than that, I mean, I had a lovely time. I left at a reasonable hour because, you know, I usually don't stay for the late stuff. I wanted to get home. I had another Christmas party to go to in the evening. So I was home in plenty of time for that. Then I came home, read my books, petted my dog, and went to bed. Speaking of which, that is what I'm about to go and do now. You can hear that my voice still hasn't completely recovered from the weekend that had two Christmas parties and Dragon Meet in it. A lot of speaking over a noisy background. But we'll get there. So once again, this has been a bonus episode of Monster Man going out as a way of saying thank you to all of my Patreon backers. In our next episode, we're going to be taking a look at assembling monster casts, monster palettes for our game. And I hope that you will join me then for Monster Man, a show about monsters, because monsters are great. Thank you for listening, and thank you very much for supporting Monster Man on Patreon.
If you have a favorite monster or something you'd like me to talk about, you can reach me on Twitter at GonzoHistory or by email, gonzohistory@gmail.com. To support Monster Man, just go to patreon.com/monsterman. Thank you to Ray Otis for designing the thumbnail image. Our introductory music is Solve the Damn Mystery by Jesse Spillane from the album Descent of the Goober Monster, used under a Creative Commons attribution license. Thank you again for listening, and please join us next time.